This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's top news, and we begin in Congress, where another prominent figure has decided not to seek re-election in the 2010 midterm elections. This time it's on the Democratic side, and it's one of the most tenured and most powerful men on Capitol Hill. Wisconsin Democrat David Obie from the Badger State's 7th Congressional District, and he's also the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. Democrats were dreading the news, Republicans hoping it was true. And on Wednesday, David Obie announced he would not be on the ballot this fall.
I think that along the way I've made a difference for the district and the state that I represent and for the country. But there's a time to stay and a time to go, and this is my time to go.
Obie says had he continued to run for re-election this year, he thinks he would have won, and he still thinks Democrats can hold the seat. A much different view coming from Republicans. National Republican Congressional Committee spokesman Tom Erickson says there's a reason David Obie stepped down. He was increasingly unpopular after being the man behind the unsuccessful stimulus bill.
Well, he was the architect of this failed stimulus package, and that is the issue that got Sean Duffy into the race in the first place. He entered this race in July, back when Democrats were riding high in the polls, and he said, look, enough is enough. I've got a young family, but you know what's going on in Washington is just unacceptable.
Erickson says if Sean Duffy, the young Republican challenger, can chase Obie from the race, he's probably the favorite to beat any other Democrat on the ballot as well. Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District is in the northwestern part of the state, mostly a rural area, but Obie's won it since 1969. He's the third longest-serving member of the House of Representatives, behind only John Dingell and John Conyers, both of Michigan. Obie, however, had been seeing declining poll ratings. And the district had been competitive on the presidential level, at least in recent years, with John Kerry barely defeating George W. Bush in that district in 2004. President Obama won it a bit more handily in 2008. Of course, the major issue still in New York City and in much of official Washington today is the ongoing investigation into the near car bomb attack on Times Square on Saturday evening. Fortunately, of course, due to alert street vendors as well as quick action by police, the bomb never went off, and the suspect, Faisal Shahzad, is now in custody and is apparently being quite free in explaining where he's been, how he got training for terrorism, and what went into this plot that nearly went down on Saturday. But while everyone breathes a sigh of relief, some are still wondering just how strong the U.S. posture is in fighting terrorism. California Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren spoke with me earlier today. He says he can't quite figure out why so many people want to instantly Mirandize terrorist suspects when there's important information that needs to be gleaned first.
I think that you have every right to investigate somebody like that, interrogate someone like that fully before you move to the next step of deciding whether or not you want to Mirandize them later on for the purpose of maybe bringing a prosecution.
Congressman Lundgren says he also doesn't think the Obama administration has the proper mindset overall on terrorism, especially when it comes to the venue for trials that Mr. Shahzad could be facing, as well as folks like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the supposed mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. Congressman Lundgren says those people do not belong in civilian court.
It makes no sense whatsoever, for instance, for the attorney general now to be talking about still bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other of his confederates to New York for trial. And he said yesterday that's still on the table. I just think that's not only wrong, it's just plain nuts.
I also had Mr. Lundgren respond to a statement from House Majority Leader Democrat Steny Hoyer of Maryland, who said Democrats have done a better job fighting the war on terrorism than the Bush administration. Lundgren says comments like that are not only unhelpful, they're also not true.
Frankly, I think for anybody to suggest that the previous administration did not, in fact, act appropriately and work very, very hard to undertake the investigation and then the actions against those around the world who wanted to do us harm, just doesn't understand the record or, unfortunately, is misstating that record.
To hear my full interview with Congressman Lundgren, please head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While there, you can also hear my conversation with Tom Erickson of the National Republican Congressional Committee, who you heard a moment ago commenting on the retirement of Wisconsin lawmaker David Obie. At that same site, you can catch my conversation today with Ted Broman of the Heritage Foundation. He is an expert on international economics and explains how Greece got into its current debt crisis and how Greece could just be the first European domino to lead to a major financial crisis throughout that continent. And he says the United States is hardly immune, considering our investments in Europe as well as the dire financial straits we find ourselves in with respect to record deficits and debts. Again, all of that, worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. Finally, on Tuesday evening, America lost one of its great treasures. Ernie Harwell, one of the legendary baseball broadcasters of any era, passed away in Michigan at the age of 92 following a year-long battle with inoperable bile duct cancer. Harwell broke in the major leagues with the Dodgers, eventually worked for the Giants and Orioles, but the bulk of his career was spent in the city in which he is now beloved, the city of Detroit, calling Tigers games from 1960 and calling games until his mid-80s when he finally retired in 2002. He became the voice of summer for many in the Midwest with classic catchphrases and lines like these.
There's a breaking ball in for a strike, and he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out. Right-hander against the right-hander. The outfield is straight up and deep on Fielder. He is the DH today. Swing. There's a drive to left. That one is long gone. Set the pitch. He swings. Bounding ball. Stopped by Trubitz for the second one. Really the first. Two for the price of one for the Tigers. A great play by Trubitz. Infield in double play depth for the Mariners. They've had a lot of ground balls so far today. Here's the pitch on the way. He swings and fouls it off. It'll reach the seats over back of the Tiger dugout. And the man from Walla Walla will take that one home.
But as great as Ernie Harwell was behind the microphone, he was far greater in life. In his column for the Detroit Free Press on Wednesday, famed columnist Mitch Albom said that everyone who was around Ernie Harwell was in awe of him, but Harwell wasn't. Harwell was the one who always made you feel like you were doing him a favor, and he just enjoyed being around you. A man of dignity, of grace, of friendliness, of humility, and a man who walked consistently in his Christian faith. Ernie Harwell, passing away at the age of 92. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.